know I've preached on all these before, but I really want to go as deep as we can go. Let's really dig into these, because sometimes we think we know what Jesus was teaching, but maybe there's more there than we realize in what he was looking. So let's look at the one that probably even sinners know about, the Good Samaritan. How many know the story of the Good Samaritan? How many are just too lazy to raise your hands? Okay. But I didn't title this The Good Samaritan. I just said The Samaritan, and we'll explain that in a minute. But let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this word. Cause it to be felt. Cause it to be known. Cause it to be multiplied. And we'll thank you and praise you for its impact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, amen. Luke chapter 10, it's where it's found, verse 25. And behold, I'm not going to read it all just yet, but let's get the first part of this. A certain lawyer. Now, this is a church lawyer, right? Not a regular lawyer. A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is probably the key, most important scripture for Jews and for us in the Old Testament. And then when you look at Leviticus 19, it also picks up the part about, and love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments, right? Two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he's saying to him, well, you answered correctly. Now, let's get some context in this chapter. This is the chapter where Jesus sends out the 70, right? And they go out, and, man, they come back. They're like, because they were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. They surprised their own power. They laid hands on people, and they got healed, and they go, this stuff really works. Amen. I don't know if it happened like that, but anyway, that's the way I would do it. So they're just excited. And Jesus said, "Look, don't get all pumped up because you got the power. Rejoice, why? Because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Hallelujah. And then I thought they already had the authority, but the Scripture says, "And he gave them authority over all devils." Over all demons, not just some and some of the time. He said, "I give you," how many believe he gives us that same authority if we would start exercising it and walking in it and just believing it? Come on, it all works by faith. And he says, "I've given you authority over every demon." No wonder the devil's so upset. How many know we're in a war? We may win some, we may lose some, but in the end, we got it. We win the war. Don't get all upset when you lose a battle, because you're going to win the war. Woo, hallelujah. One man said we're in a war game with the devil, and he's showing aces. But that's all right, because we got the other aces. We got more aces than he's got. I don't know. How many aces are there? Somebody's cheating. It's probably the devil. When the devil shows you five aces, he's cheating. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But what did Jesus say about eternal life? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How about John 11? Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. to Mary. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John chapter 4, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He said in John 5, and most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. But Jesus answered him kind of strangely. And he says, well, you quoted it right. Let's look at the parable. But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, okay? I mean, he's a lawyer. He's looking for a loophole. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. But who's my neighbor? I only got to love the guy on my right and my left. Who's my neighbor, see? Who's my neighbor, he says. Jesus answered and said, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, and leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite passed by on the other side, came and looked. Passed by on the other side. But, a certain Samaritan. Now you got, listen, here's the background of this. Jews hate Samaritans. It was wrong. It was sinful to even shake their hand. It was wrong to talk to them. Why? Because the Samaritans were a mixed group. They were half Gentile, half Jew. And there's a long history of that. We can go back to the Babylonian captivity and all that. But anyway, I won't bore you with all that. But the Samaritans also worshipped Jehovah, but they were interbred. And they would and to speak to one and to touch one would contaminate yourself. Don't touch them, because if you touched them, then you were contaminated, and you had to, you know, repent of that sin. So when Jesus said a Samaritan came by, everyone's like, "Oh, a Samaritan." And by the way, the Samaritans hated the Jews just as much. They were completely separate. I mean, it's worse than any kind of racial thing that we've ever even seen in America. Worse than that. Worse than America back in the 1800s. All right, so you got me on that? So when the Samaritan saw him, and by the way, this is a very narrow road, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The only time it was busy was during the feast days. Three times a year, everyone had to go to Jerusalem to worship, right? So those roads, that's what they were built for. And those roads were really busy. But other than that, people didn't roam around much. They didn't have a lot of reason to ever leave home. Back then, you may spend your entire life in that village and never leave it. So the road was narrow. Wasn't this wide thing. You know, it had cliffs on one side, mountains on the other, a lot of caves and big rocks where thieves can hide. So it's very narrow. Because I used to picture the Levite coming along and the guy in the ditch is like way over there. You're the guy in the ditch, okay? And let's just, you know, pretend like you didn't see him. I was expecting more amens, because you've all done that. I mean, sometimes just knowing there's another church member in the next aisle at Myers, I hope they don't see me. I know that one. If I ask how they are, they'll actually tell me. Oh, don't act so innocent. Anyway, he had to literally just see him there in the ditch. Right there he's laying. And the priest walks on, because, you know, he's got more spiritual things to do. and the Levites. See, the Levites, they were, the priests were Levites too. They're from the tribe of Levi. But to be a priest, you had to be from Aaron's lineage. And to be a Levite, you just had to be from the tribe of Levi. Y'all follow me? So the Levites were kind of like assistant pastors, and they served as security, and they pretty much ran the church, you know, ran the temple while the priests did their thing. So the Levite goes by and passes by. And then here comes this sinful mutt of a man, this Samaritan. I mean, they would even say it like Samaritan. And the Samaritans would say, Jews. The Samaritan saw the Jew in the ditch. And he touched him. And he took of his own supplies. He poured in his own oil and his own wine. You usually traveled with those things because you needed the oil to maybe cook things on the road. The wine, you didn't drink the water in those areas because you could get pretty sick. So just about everyone drank wine. And it was not nearly as powerful as the wine we have today. But everyone would drink wine and, you know, they would have the oil. These are things he needed for the journey. And he poured that into him and he bandaged him and picked him up and put him on his mule that he rode on and carried him to an inn, not the Holiday Inn, probably somebody's spare barn, you know, there it is, and paid the guy the equivalent of 2 days' salary, which would have been enough money to cover that guy for a month. And he said, I'll be back, and if there's any more charges, I'll pay him. How many know we wouldn't even do that because we figured the guy would rip us off? Stop looking around. This was an unbelievable story. And it was an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? How many know there are scriptures? How about Matthew 5? I may jump around some if you can find, stay with me. Do what you can. Matthew 5, 43, 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus speaking. But I say to you, Jesus, please, love your enemies. I just want you to think about that. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Not cuss, curse. There's a difference. Do good to those who hate you. Jesus, you're going too far. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, I know some of you pray for your enemy. Lord, send fire on their head. Lord, do something horrible to them that they'll know that I'm right with you. And no, not that kind of prayer. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, if you really think about it, isn't that something? You know, Galatians, in the New Testament, Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Now, when Paul says one word, it's never one word. You typical preacher. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, say law. All the law, and there were a lot of laws. There were like several hundred laws that you had to know about. Romans 3:20, Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by doing the law, obeying the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You can't get to heaven by obeying the law. Because you can't. I don't care how good you think you are. None of us can get to heaven. I mean, if you could obey every law and be perfect all the time, I don't know, maybe, you know, you'd get up there and say, you know, you were as good as Jesus. Come on in. I don't know. But I think basically what it's saying is that it's not possible. So what's the law for? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law's there just to tell you that you're wrong. Now, before you get all hateful about the priest and the Levite, let's look at our own lives. You're driving down the highway and someone is broken down on the road. And you're like, well, I hope someone comes by. I pray for them, Jesus. You say, you know, it's dangerous to be stopping like that. You know, you got to use wisdom. Got to use wisdom. How many times have we passed by? And even if you've done it once, do you do it all the time? Well, I'm late for an appointment. Oh, I hope someone helps them. Come on. Some of you guys would never stop unless it was a good-looking woman broke down. Oh, that lady needs help. I'm not guilty. I better think about that. I'm in the pulpit. No. We're just like that. I mean, you may have done it once in a while. You know, so what's Jesus saying? He's saying the law says you have to be like that all the time. Right? But the lawyer was trying to find a loophole and say, well, let's define neighbor so I can have a loophole so I can get through this. But Jesus wouldn't let him have a loophole. He said, you got to be like that all the time with everybody, and then maybe you can make it in. Now he's like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And listen, this is where you got to go with this. He should have said, it's not possible. And Jesus would have said, exactly. The purpose of this parable is not just to get you to stop for people in trouble. The purpose of this parable is not just for you to be kind and generous. The purpose of this parable is to teach you that you should do this, but that's not how you get saved because you won't do it all the time. And it'll never be good enough. And that's what he was trying to pray. He made the law so impossible that the lawyer should have said, that ain't possible. And Jesus would have said, well, then let me show you the way. For I am the truth, the way, and the life. Come on. How many are with me? Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 46 says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? I've been aware of pastors who ignore people who come into their church who can't do anything for their church. And I've known pastors that give the front row to people who have a lot of money or talent and a bit. Yeah, right. Case in point, I haven't done that. I'm sorry. It's your fault for sitting up here. But they will give prep. Didn't James talk about that? No, you're supposed to treat everyone the same and well, regardless of what they can do for you. You're not loving people until you love people who can't or won't love you back. You're not helping people unless you help people who can't help you. Oh, we're all going to hell. We're if it weren't for Jesus? Can I get a if it weren't for Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. My God, I feel the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 explains the whole thing. Can I read this little bit and follow me, okay? We got it? The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. This is from the Passion Translation, so I want you to hear it. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy, even when we are dead and doomed in our many sins. He united us into the very life of Christ.
What?
And saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up.
What?
What's this starting to sound like? He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him. This is past tense. Not someday. We ascended now with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm and the authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated. Now! Y'all aren't getting this. Now we are co-seated with Christ. Through the coming of the ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. In other words, one day he's going to parade us, Colossians, he's going to parade us in front of the enemy and say, look what the Lord has done. Come on, someone shout, praise the Lord. My God. I'm getting too excited. My watch is going, what's wrong with you? Listen, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. Not even being a good Samaritan. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast. For salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Someone shout, woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Is everyone getting this? So let me put it like this. I'm going to let you out early. I'm a good Samaritan. Amen. This parable is not, as I said, is not just to encourage you to do good deeds, though you were created to do them. And we're going to be rewarded based on our good works. Come on. Not saved, but rewarded for our good work. So it's not a waste of time. There is a reward someday, even down here. So don't get weird, but yeah. But you can't be saved by good works. Because we just can't keep the law. If you break it once, you broke it all. You can't stand before God and say, I only messed up once. Not good enough. But I want to leave you with this thought about this parable. Because Jesus never uses the word good Samaritan. He just said a Samaritan. But everyone has always titled this the Good Samaritan. But what if this parable is not just about the Samaritan, But what if I told you Jesus is the good Samaritan? What if I said he picked you up out of a ditch? What if I said he bound up your wounds? What if I said he poured in the oil? He poured in the wine? What if I said that Jesus paid for your recuperation? What if I said he had to leave for a while, but he left enough money behind to take care of you while he was gone? Jesus was actually talking about himself, but the lawyer never got it, because his motive was to trick Jesus. His motive was to trip him up. His motive was to mess with him, and not, he didn't care about salvation. He thought he knew the answer. But what he didn't understand is that you can never keep the law. You need grace. You need Jesus. And you know what? You know what? Every time Jesus saw you in the ditch, he never passed by. He is the Good Samaritan. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. He is. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. I tell you, when I realized that, I about shouted. Actually, I think I did shout. I'm shouting now. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whew. He showed his way when he fixed the guy up. He showed the truth because it was the right thing to do. And he showed the life because that man lived and did not die. You're alive today because the Good Samaritan came by one day while other people looked at you and gave up, while other people just called you names, while other people said they'll never amount to anything. Am I talking to anybody? I may be even talking about your parents who said, he's just a numbskull, he'll never amount to anything. I don't know what people have spoken into your life, but there's been a lot of people that have kicked you to the roadside. There's been a lot of people in your life that kicked you into the ditch. There's been a lot of people that walked by you and didn't give you the time of day. But Jesus, he saw you in the ditch. Jesus brought you out. Jesus did for you when no one else did, and no one else ever thought you'd ever amount to anything. But here I stand. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. The Samaritan is Jesus. Father, oh, I love you this morning. I thank you for this parable. I thank you for the way it points to you. It points to you. Everything points to Jesus. So God, will you just stay with us? Just continue to bless us. Do a work in our lives. And we'll be careful to always praise you.